The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie starring a muscle-bound, foreign-born action star. The fantastic sword and sorcery adventure that spawned a generation of fans and fandom alike. It's Conan. I'm just kidding. It's He-Man. It's Master of the Universe.
The He-Man movie with all your favorite characters like Battle Cat and Many Faces. And I'm just kidding. It's just, that bad guy from Rocky and playing with some teenagers and the dude from Willow and stuff.
The movie where He-Man and the Master of the Universe will travel through dimensions, fighting the ultimate evil and an army of his henchmen, all so Courtney Cox can have a TV and film career.
This is Masters of the Universe
on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast countdown, the biggest hit movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And we are here at last.
Yeah, we've been talking about doing this movie for a long time.
Long time. Astute listeners will know that our ending of each episode includes a bit of an homage to this film.
Yeah, explain.
So, in Eternia, yeah. They don't say goodbye. They say good journey.
Yep. Just like in the, I don't know. All right. So, when I were doing like the research for this movie, I was like, oh yeah, what was He-Man about? And then I was looking it up and then, yeah, there's no like real, you know, nobody's like, oh, well, He-Man is like this, you know, like, it's always just like Thundercats. It's always just like, oh, they're just fighting bad guys all the time.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's all he's doing. But well, it's like Son of Adam.
So let's, that's, you started off on a good point.
Yeah.
So 1982 rolls around. Well, a couple of things happened in the 70s. First of all, let's rewind. A couple of things happened in the 70s. Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And the other thing that happens is that Marvel Comics, thanks to Roy Thomas, picks up the rights to Robert E. Howard's Conan the Barbarian.
Right.
And it becomes a huge hit.
Because it's an awesome comic book.
Because it's, yeah, awesome, it's an movie. Awesome comic book.
Yeah.
And so that spawns, the combination of all these things spawns, of course, Conan the Barbarian with Arnold Schwarzenegger, the, you know, Oliver Stone script. It's John Milius.
Yeah.
I never know how to pronounce his name. But an all-time great fantasy movie. Yep. Amazing film. And it spawns a just shit ton
a barrage.
Of low budget yep. garbage movies. But it also spawns one Mattel toy company to go, hey, you know what kids like?
Yeah, they're like big muscle bound guys.
They like big muscle bound dudes with swords fighting wizards and shit.
It was.
Can we do that? But can we make Conan? And they're like, oh, we have to pay a licensing fee for that. They're like, fuck that shit.
No, we're just going to make our own. And then we call him the manliest name that you could possibly come up with.
That's right. So they had many a meetings, I'm sure. They're like, should we go with Dave, Ralph? No.
Like Lance is a
Lance is pretty good.
Pretty good name,
yeah.
Right? Let's just call him Man.
Yeah. No, well, we can't just call him Man. Can we just call him like him or yeah, he? Yeah, like, no. Oh, wait a minute.
He-Man. Actually, if you want to see a really good telling of how He-Man came to be, watch that Toys That Made Us on Netflix episode. Mm. And it's really good. It's really good about how they come up with the toys first, then they write a little comic book,
right.
And then they make a fucking cartoon. Just yeah, to sell the toys.
And that's all cartoons were in
all
the 80s.
All cartoons were in the 80s.
They were toy commercials.
All right. So that was a huge hit. Toy line. Oh, everybody knows.
Giant.
After the toy line has died down and there's just that B guy everywhere in the that's fucking right. stores. It was
1987.
Everywhere. 1987. Then Canon Pictures picks up the fucking rights.
Right. So the rights have been kicking around town. Yeah. There have been a couple different studios and stuff involved with developing it into a film. But, you know, it's a toy line. It's yep. expensive. It's got all kinds of weird characters and creatures. And
yeah, it's got really cool character designs where it's just like all these weird monsters and stuff in there. I mean, he rides around on a giant fucking tiger.
Which is dope as fuck, first of all.
Fucking dope, yeah. He fights a skeleton dude all the time.
Yes. So his main villain is a skeleton face on top of a giant muscle body.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it really is to look at it back then to be like, you can't do this. Like, no. It's impossible to do this. So
I know, obviously, you just CG the fuck out of it, and it's, I don't know, whatever dumb World of Warcraft bullshit.
So the two crazy brothers from Counting Pictures.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
They don't give a fuck. And they're like, we can make money on this. So here's what they do. They go to a flea market or swap meet.
Yeah.
And then they ask a guy, do you have He-Man toys? And the guy's like, there's some in that box. And they flip over the box. And out come some Stormtroopers, some Willow toys.
Yep.
And then a couple of He-Man toys.
Sure.
And then they're like, all right, these are the characters in the movie.
that is exactly what happens, yes.
That's exactly how this fucking movie feels.
It's either that or they hired the guy, Ralph McQuarrie, who did production design on Star Wars, and were like, hey, make up a bunch of shit for our thing.
Yeah, can you give us more Star Wars? Which is what
they did.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously. But they also, there's actually... I mean, yes, obviously they rip off Star Wars a lot.
A whole lot.
The whole lot.
It's ridiculous.
They rip off Conan a whole lot.
A whole lot.
And the director has since admitted this, super influenced by Jack Kirby and like the old like Dark Side and New Gods and stuff like that. Yeah. Like all the Fourth World stuff that he did for DC. But there's still some cool designs. I actually think the interior Grayskull, which actually is a huge set.
Yeah.
Pretty dope.
It's pretty cool. It also, here's my problem with this movie from the very beginning and when I saw it as a kid, and I think America's problem with this movie is the same problem that they had with Super Mario Brothers movie, which is two 48-year-old dudes
who know nothing about the
making product. A movie about kids' line.
They're just toys. Like, what is it? Mushrooms? Yeah, just put some gross shit in there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. They like kids love gross shit.
Yeah.
Like, just do that. Kids love Star Wars.
Well, what is he? He has a sword and whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. So it very much feels like that. Yeah, like it's not. Yeah.
Well, and then the big thing, of course, is that while this was Canon's most expensive movie, it's still a Canon movie, so they didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
So they pretty quickly were like, told the director, hey, you got to make this shit on Earth.
Yeah. Yep. Like, no, but the whole cartoon happens in like another world.
And in fact,
Eternia.
If you listen to interviews with him, he had to fight just for having the opening and ending in Eternia. They wanted the whole thing on
Earth.
Which
is just a desert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and the set and stuff that they had to build.
But
you're right, though. It's just a desert in California.
Yeah, it's clear. All right, so the movie starts off with some fighting.
The movie does start off right with some... Well, it starts off with Skeletor winning.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, like he captures him and stuff.
Yeah, but Skeletor walking in with his whole army into Castle Grayskull. The sorceress is captured in some sort of energy field.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit. Skeletor won.
Yeah. Skeletor is perfectly cast.
Yep.
The guy that played Dracula in the 70s.
That's right.
Frank Langella.
He's fucking awesome.
Because again, 1987 kids.
Right. They love 70s Dracula.
They love some Frank Langella.
Yep.
As a bad guy.
They saw him on stage many times and they were very impressed by his
yep.
his Broadway chops.
Wearing like a rubber fucking
it's
a terrible skeleton
it's a,
mask.
It's a bad mask.
All the makeup in this is not that good.
Some of it's alright.
Barty.
Billy Barty.
Billy Barty's fucking mouth. You could see his mouth under the mouth.
Yeah. Again, it's a Canon picture.
Yeah. Like they just just cut corners everywhere.
They do as much as they can. Yeah. But you're right.
I'm watching it now on a fucking flat screen television.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean the Frank Langella issue. It's the same issue they have with Willem Dafoe and Spider-Man. Is that you have this incredible actor with like very expressive, you know, face, and they're like, hey, let's put a bunch of shit on you there, though, so you can't really see him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could still have a Darth Vader villain.
That's true.
With a mask on.
That's true. That's true.
It's just, you know, in this case.
In this case, it's even better.
Nope.
Because Frank Langella is actually great.
Exactly a ripoff of Darth Vader. Everything from the music to the way.
Yes. I mean, the music. Which Billy Conti, Stallone's guy.
Yeah.
Stallone's guy rolls in, kicks ass.
Yeah, I wonder if that was like Stallone was, because it was during Over the Top too, right?
Yeah. So Stallone, they tried to get him to do Over the Top for a while.
Yeah.
And he kept saying no, and eventually they gave him like, I don't know, $10 or $15 million or something that at the time was just,
he was the highest paid actor for one movie.
Crazy.
Yeah, at the time.
And so obviously he was like, all right, if they're that much money, sure. And at the same time, they, you know, go to his Rocky IV peeps. They pick up Dolph. There's famously, I think, Mario shared this story on our Rocky IV episode, which is that Stallone visits the set of Masters of the Universe, sees that Dolph is doing a line, and is like, whoa, you gave this guy lines?
Oh, don't do that.
Don't do that.
I do have to say, I'm impressed with Dolph's acting in this, because they did give him very little lines.
Yes. And this is very intentional.
Yeah, only a couple of times does he sound fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he's not great.
No.
It's interesting, too, that they originally wanted to dub him over.
Oh, man, that would have been great.
That would have been pretty cool.
I actually would like the movie more now.
I mean, it's really weird. If you've never seen one of Schwarzenegger's early ones, Hercules in New York, when they dub him over,
it's fucking
hilarious. So weird. Yeah. It's the same with Jackie Chan. Like, anytime it's not Jackie Chan dubbing over Jackie Chan, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, like, who's this fucking young, weird voice that they gave
him? I know what Jackie Chan sounds like. What the fuck?
Yeah. We'll be okay with accents, god damn it. Like, just give him the accent. They cut out so many lines from him.
Yeah, they get rid of a lot of his lines, and then they did not have the time or the money to redub him over with someone else.
Yep, exactly.
And they were like, it's good enough.
They also made him not the main character.
That's kind of true.
Yeah. This is a bit of an ensemble piece. They didn't even call the movie He-Man.
They don't. They call it Masters of the Universe, which technically I believe the toy line is just called Masters of the Universe. Yeah. I could be wrong. And I think the cartoon was one.
The cartoon was He-Man.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Yeah.
I think you're right. I guess you could say it's an ensemble piece, but also, what are the characters from the toy line and the cartoon that
Well, obviously you got He-Man.
Obviously.
You got Skeletor.
Clearly.
You got Evelyn and Teela.
Yeah.
Both still sexy, just like I remember them in toy form.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. The female ones are the toys that kids like to play with.
Yes, exactly. Famously, sell very, very well. Man at Arms,
yeah.
And
that's it.
You got it. You nailed it.
They didn't even make Orko.
No, well, they have Billy Barty for that.
Yeah, but Billy Barty could have been Orko. He's still a small guy.
That's true.
Like, but instead, they put him in the exact same fucking makeup from Legend.
Yeah, pretty much.
Google it. He looks exactly the same as in Legend.
And as I said, I saw this before Legend, so as far as I'm concerned, Ridley Scott is a fucking hack that ripped this off.
That ripped off Masters of the Universe.
Ripped off Masters of the Universe.
They put him in that, and then they still could have given him... In fact, they didn't have to do all the makeup if they just had it with that no face that Orko has.
Like, that's true. Right? You just put a black scarf around his face. I mean, I guess it would have been hard for him to... there's meshes. They could have done it.
Yeah. Again, it's just them being like, no, kids like the Star Wars stuff. Throw Star Wars in it. Kids like that Willow stuff.
Yoda. Yeah, shit, Yoda. Yeah. I mean, he's got a little Yoda in him.
He's got
sure.
a little Yoda in him.
He's got a little Yoda.
Then looks exactly like Yoda.
Yeah.
So they get... That's how they get captured, though. Like, they run into him. He's got this key.
Right. So we find out Skeletor, like I said, he won. This is the day evil won. And He-Man is on the loose. He comes across, as you said, Billy Barty, who's playing the character of Gwildor.
Yeah, Gwildor.
Which is a cool name. I dig it.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a good fantasy name.
Did they make a toy of him, afterwards?
Yes, I had that toy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So he runs in. He's in, a giant net, and these guys... Oh, I got to talk about these guys. So he's being carried by some of the Stormtrooper knockoffs that Skeletor works for. Or that work for Skeletor, rather. And... So there's a bunch of stuff in the trivia that they would not let He-Man kill anybody.
Yeah, because it's a kid's movie.
Because it's a kid's movie and he's supposed to be a hero and all that stuff, right? But that the director was like, well, but, you know, I'm going to have him kill people, though. And the compromise they came to, it's the same that they did with Samurai Jack, is that, oh, well, he can kill robots.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. They never say these dudes are robots, and they're clearly dudes in suits.
Yeah, they're obviously guys in suits.
So the entire time as a child watching this movie, I was just like, oh, yeah, He-Man murders 20 people, 30, I don't know, 100 people, something crazy.
They didn't even add wires and sparks or something whenever he kills any of them.
No, there's no
It's just dudes dying.
Yeah, you don't see robot parts. Like in Samurai Jack, when he cuts something in half, it's like oil and you see like gears and shit flying out. Yeah. Like,
nope, not even a little bit. They completely forgot to mention the one thing, the one stipulation that they had to follow.
Right.
Which was don't kill
which people. I do wonder if Gary Godard, who's the director of this movie, if that was his like clever way around it, where he just told all the people at Mattel, is like, no, they're all robots. It's fine. And they're like, oh, okay, like cool.
The script says robot number one, robot number two.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he was just like, no, they're not fucking robots, though.
No,
like, he's telling everyone on set, like, no, these are fucking dudes, clearly.
There's a scene where they clearly say robots, and he just cuts that scene
out. Yeah, no, he just cut that scene out.
Wasn't it cool when He-Man killed all those people kids? That was me.
That was me.
I set that shit up.
Yeah.
So they have this key.
So, yes, Billy Barty, he rescues him. He-Man rescues him. And Gwildor reveals that Skeletor wants him because he has created the Cosmic Key.
Yeah.
A device that, by playing the right tones, will open a doorway
to dimension.
Anywhere in the multiverse.
Pretty much. Yeah. So they get chased into his lair or whatever, right?
Right. So they're at his house. He's explaining all this. That's how Skeletor got into Castle Grayskull.
Yeah.
Is he just like entered in some keys and popped out behind all their defenses and whatever. And while they're doing it, the stormtroopers show up. They go through a back door that leads them, ironically, right to Castle Grayskull. So, so not that hard to get in.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. They could have just, Barty's been getting in and out of that fucking Gwildor. No big deal for
No big deal for that guy.
And then, so then they use a key, and then to.
Well, when they get there, Skeletor and them, they get in a big fight, and it's clear that He-Man and, cause he's only with at this point, Man-at-Arms and Teela. That's all that's left of the Resistance.
Yeah.
And
which they do, they are called the Resistance again. Ridiculous, like Star Wars is like the Resistance has fallen, and I'm like, oh, come on, guys, like try a little harder, man.
J.J. Abrams, huge ripoff artist.
Yep. Yep.
All coming from Masters of the Universe.
All from Masters of the Universe. Yep.
That's funny fact. J.J. Abrams never seen Star Wars. Only Masters of the Universe.
All Masters of the Universe.
That's why there's so many parallels in Force Awakens.
Yep. BB-8's clearly Gwildor.
Clearly Gwildor, yeah.
He's equally as annoying, I would say.
Yeah, Oscar Isaacs is clearly Kevin, who we'll talk about soon.
Yeah.
So they get into Castle Grayskull. They're outnumbered. Sorceress is telling them, no, run away, He-Man. Like, don't die. You're our only hope. And so they yell at Gwildor, like, punch in some codes. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
They clearly say fuck, because this is an R-rated movie for children.
It was a robot fuck, though.
Yeah, exactly. So it's fine.
Yeah, so it's fine.
Like, let's get the robot fuck out of here. They're like, oh, well, he said robot. It's fine.
Yeah, it's robot, so it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Yeah. So they punch in some random chords, and wouldn't you know it, they end up in a little planet
called Earth.
Bum, bum, bum!
Just like in the cartoon.
Yep.
So we go into, like, the I don't know who the fucking main character in this movie is. Because who does? Because then they all split up.
So then the main
up.
Character of the second act gets introduced.
Yeah, which is Courtney Cox.
Or like the middle hour, maybe? I don't know. Middle 15 minutes main character?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, there's Courtney Cox, who's dating that guy, Kevin.
Right? Kevin, right. Yeah, so it's Courtney Cox and
whoever the actor is.
Yeah.
And then we just find out that her parents are dead. They died in a plane crash.
Right. And so she is leaving forever, even though she loves Kevin.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's graduating from high school. She's going to leave town, move to the other side of the country.
Yep.
Because they're in California right now, and she's going to move to New Jersey, I think she says, or Atlantic City or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're dealing with that.
Yes.
And then we see that the guys, they came into this dimension.
In the meantime, you got
they lost the key.
They lost the key.
So they got to split up. So then we pulled Dolph Lundgren straight out of there.
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren's gone. Yeah. The other characters,
he's only contracted for fucking 10 days of shooting.
He's
so got to
go
out.
Lift weights and practice his like five words of English.
These three other characters fucking.
Well, it's time for some fish out of water hijinks, baby.
They have way more screen time than fucking Dolph Lundgren.
Yes.
Or Skeletor. Or any of the ones that are actual toys.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So between like Man-at-Arms and Gwildor and then Kevin and Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
They're
like 88% of the screen time.
Well, not to mention, the best character, but we'll get to it.
Yeah. So then they get into some hijinks, like you said, like They're supposed to be looking for this key, but right away, Goldar's just stealing shit.
Yes. Well, food, a bucket specifically. Of bucket of chicken and ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which apparently they don't need meat.
Apparently they don't need meat in Eternia. Except for Man-at-Arms, who is a war vet, and he's like, I'll eat whatever the fuck. I'll eat people. I don't give a shit.
Cause, well, probably because he remembers the Clone Wars.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. When you had to eat meat.
Exactly. Yeah. He had to eat clones. Yeah, you had to clone yourself and eat your clone. He's not even sure if he's the real one or if he ate the real one.
Which is how we solve world hunger.
Yeah.
You just
eat your clone.
Clone machines.
Yeah.
And just keep cloning yourself and eating some clone.
That's right.
I mean, maybe I'm delicious. I don't know.
You're going to find out.
You're goddamn right, I am. Yeah. Yeah, so they're eating chicken, and they have the whole fucking thing about meat.
Right,
and
right.
Know that it's meat and stuff.
Which I assume at the time, I mean, it's still kind of hilarious because vegetarians, but at the time, vegetarianism was really seen as like an anomaly, right?
Yeah.
So the idea of an entire planet
thing you made fun of people for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, the 80s are famous for making fun of people as far as food things go, sushi and vegetarians.
Yeah.
Like, that's your go-to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Raw fish. Don't even cook it.
Yeah. But get this out of here. Come on, it's trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, hijinks ensue.
Hijinks ensue.
And then Kevin finds the key, right?
Right. So Kevin finds the key and starts just jamming out.
Yeah, he starts playing it.
Yeah.
It's a lot like the holophone from from Futurama.
Futurama, yeah.
Where you play it and it has this little hologram thing. So he's like, dope, what am I going to do with this thing? Pawn shop.
Yeah. Well, it's either pawn shop or he's like in a band.
Yeah,
he's in a band. So he's like, oh, I'll fucking, this my instrument now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like the keytar guy, but on this fucking weird shit.
Yeah, there's just hologram shit coming out of it, which is cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, for the 80s. And some of the effects are all right.
It's all right. It looks okay.
Some of it is all right for
considering. I mean, now, Francisco knows this about me, and astute listeners might as well, that I've been watching a lot of shitty 80s sci-fi and fantasy movies lately. And compared to, like, the Deathstalker series or The Warrior and the Sorceress, which I watched two nights ago, or a lot of these other movies, Master of the Universe... Some great special effects. Yeah,
top-notch special effects.
Yeah, the only effect that it does...
is really floating that ship. Yeah.
Comparatively, I mean, it's much, much better. I mean, Masters of the Universe, of course, though, does not have tits.
No, see, yeah.
And all those other movies, that's a lot of tits.
You can save some movies with some tits, yeah.
A lot of other tits, a lot of tits in those.
How crazy would it have been if they were just going with a hard R?
That would have been insane. That would have been
so fucking cool.
I mean, that's what they would do now, right? They're like, He-Man's fucking for adults, and it ain't for your bullshit kids. This is Zack Snyder's He-Man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Fucking slow motion cutting motherfuckers in half, and or you go fucking Teela in the ass.
You know, like in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Or you go the other way, which is hilarious R-rated like
comedy. Yeah, where comedy. They're just making fun of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, He-Man is fucking meta. Gay and stupid, right?
Yeah, like, oh, look, his giant testosterone-filled point of views are like so outdated now.
Yeah,
yeah. He-Man, what kind of name is that? He's not sensitive at all.
Yeah, it's fucking assuming his gender right there in his name.
Yeah, yeah, can't do that no more. It's like Baywatch and shit, you know.
Oh, right.
Or like that scene in Brady Bunch when they almost fuck.
I don't remember that scene.
Yeah, in the movie. Remember in the 90s.
Who almost fucks in the 90s movie?
In the Brady Bunch, remember like they're like changing in the same room and they find out that they're not.
The brother. Is it Marsha and
their
brother?
Yeah, Greg?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, but they're like changing.
Ben Stiller's wife,
and he's all like checking her out through the sheet. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, you're not related. It was okay in Clueless.
Yeah, it was. Or in Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah,
we accepted both of those wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, they're both successes.
Yeah.
Now you would do like super hard R-rated comedy, making fun of it. I think.
Yeah, that's probably the move.
Yeah.
Which I mean, you would think because I guess Kevin Smith is bringing the cartoon back. You would think that would be the perfect guy to do that, but apparently he's playing it straight.
Yeah, he's playing. Well, was there already
There was a rebooted cartoon in there's been a couple attempts. So there was the New Adventures of He-Man where he was straight up in space.
Yeah.
And had like a fucking space sword and he was like a skinny dude and
laser
shit.
Laser guns and shit. Like this movie had.
And
maybe
then
this movie's based on that fucking shit.
A little bit. And then there was also a Masters of the Universe reboot, and I want to say like 2003, maybe 2004.
Yeah, something I remember like that one.
Yeah. Which, if I remember, it was all right.
Yeah, then, but then they had, like, had the new toys and stuff where their proportions were human-like.
Kind of.
Do you remember the toys?
Obviously.
Oh, my God. Whoa. It's hilarious that that's how they made the toy. In fact, every toy before...
Same body, baby.
Yeah, before McFarlane's toys. Before he made the Spawn toys that had human proportions.
Right.
Before that, they were all these weird bow-legged... very short legs.
Well, the Star Wars toys weren't exactly like that. They had that's true. More humanish, but they were just like you could only like bend them at the legs.
Exactly. Yeah. I should like specify every
no articulation.
Every toy in the '80s.
Yes, that's true. Because like, so Star Wars in the '70s,
Star Trek toys and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
G.I. Joes and stuff like that. But the cartoon G.I. Joe toys, those are
ridiculous. Yeah, those are crazy.
Yeah. And they're just made so you can put them on horses and shit, I guess.
Yes, yeah, because you had to put them on all their crazy
and
vehicles.
And their legs are stuck together by fucking rubber bands in and so you can move them around, and it's ridiculous. But the body proportions are hilarious to me now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they...
I mean, each one of them looks like prime Arnold Schwarzenegger if you just injected him with, like... another 100 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, if he ate something he was allergic to.
If prime Arnold Schwarzenegger ate prime Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he would look
or
like.
Or wore him as a human suit. Yeah,
exactly.
But didn't take the muscles out. Yeah, just kept the muscles in there.
Exactly, yeah. Like just took the skeleton out.
Like the Jake suit. Like
Finn. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like exactly.
Oh, Jake's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just super swollen and just in this... tree trunk legs and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost exactly. That's pretty perfect.
Yeah. So if you've never seen the toys.
Yeah.
But
go back and look at the toys. You haven't seen them in a while. They're stupid.
They're great.
They're ridiculous. They have 40 muscles in each fucking arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, they were very fun to play with.
They were very fun to play with.
And they lasted like a motherfucker. You throw that shit around.
Oh, yeah. They were pretty durable. I mean, you'd lose pieces.
I was going to say.
You'd lose like the guns or the swords. That shit would break.
You break an arm, and then that's it, man.
No, now he's just teaming with one arm, man.
Yeah, yeah. His battle.
He's battle damage. Battle damage He-Man.
I did used to have the battle damage Skeletor, which
the
I
one
fucking
with
love.
The chest would move.
Yeah, yeah. It would rotate
it was
out.
Really cool.
Yeah, that shit was cool. Because, you know, they would fight each other.
Yeah, so he would have a huge scar on his chest.
Yeah.
From where he got stabbed with a sword.
It wasn't just like a little wrestling match like they do in this one.
Yeah, the fights.
Yeah. Again, Frank Langella.
I mean, he's an old man. They had a stunt double for him. We'll get to that because there's some interesting things about that final fight.
Yeah.
But we're with Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
Dead parents.
Now we're following Courtney Cox for some fucking reason.
And Kevin. her, I guess, pretty good guy boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
He's handling it pretty well. He's like, all right, I'll give you a ride to the airport. I still love you. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's trying to get her, convince her to stay, but still.
But still, he's being all right. He's being pretty good. So they go back to the high school. Because it's like prom night.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's not going to be there for the prom. I don't like it's graduation. Maybe it's a graduation dance.
Something
it's not prom.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. But it's a dance.
Yeah, it's a dance. And I guess Kevin's band's going to play it. So he's kind of setting up and messing around. The rest of the band, of course, is not there because they're not going to pay extra
fucking
people. Yeah,
they're going to pay for actors. It's
canon.
Insane?
Yeah. This is a fucking canon picture. Come on. Who do you think this is? So
maybe he fired the band because he's like, I got this fucking hologram thing now. I don't need the band.
Yeah, exactly. He goes big time
fuck
immediately
you guys. Yeah.
before they even play their first show.
Yeah. Yeah, because it only plays like five notes and then everybody's blown away by this fucking thing.
I mean, hologram.
Yeah, yeah. The hologram is cool. That's the only cool part.
I mean, if that shit, and it probably could if you hit the right tones, if it just formed a hologram Tupac in the air... And people will throw money at that.
Fuck yeah. I'm still waiting for...
Or Michael Jackson. Is the Michael Jackson one still happening? Or are they
probably
stopping
not.
That because of the whole child butthole thing?
Yeah, probably because of the butthole thing. The hologram kept just looking at buttholes. We can't know what we program it to do. It's just all about buttholes.
Every time in the middle of the song, I'm bad. Show me a butthole.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, whoa, hey, hologram Michael Jackson. Damn cool it. That's
abort.
Not cool anymore. It's 2020.
Abort. They're like, I'm plugging shit in the back. I am still waiting for a hologram Tupac like concert series.
Oh, it's going to happen.
And Prince and stuff. Yeah. Like, come on, man. People will pay money for that shit.
Oh, yeah.
to just see a bunch of engineers in the back doing shit.
Yep. While that you listen to a Tupac album.
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty cool, though. Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah. I'll still do it. Hey, we watch cover bands all the fucking time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But usually you don't, you know, you pay like $5 to see a cover band.
Yeah, or you go to the casino or something.
Or you go to the casino, or you're just getting drunk at a bar somewhere.
But if you get like one of those guys that has like a big show.
That's right. I mean, there are the big cover bands that tour.
Yeah, like the Beatles guys and stuff like that. Yeah, you pay more money for that.
Yeah, some of those guys, those shows are like $30-$40 sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like or even like the Dark Side light show where it's just like, no, we're just going to play Dark Side and lights.
And nights.
There's going to be lights around.
$17, please.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I own the album, but.
I mean, I'm very high, so yeah.
So yeah, throw some lasers up there. I don't give a fucking.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Of course I'm all about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you set up where you could take a picture with the hologram Tupac.
Ooh, that would be good.
Now it's real money.
Yeah, now you're like.
Now it's real money.
You're a part of the show.
Yeah. Like he has a thing like the ghosts in the fucking Haunted Mansion.
Ah, yeah.
Where he's just like.
He's just the in there with you. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awesome if you go to the hologram Tupac show and then they're like, you want a picture? Get on the fucking ride.
Yeah. Now you're talking. Get on the ride?
Yeah.
I was thinking
yeah.
the other thing. I mean, it's a hologram, so you can do whatever you want. So you're like, how do you want your Tupac picture? You're like, oh, I want him like hugging me or whatever. Have him give me a blowjob. You're just like, all right, you just got a hologram Tupac giving you a blowjob. You're like, fuck this guy.
They're like, run simulation 442.
Yeah, they don't know it's in there. It's definitely in there.
Yeah, I mean, you're an engineer. That's the first thing you try to program.
I'm going to fuck Tupac in the ass. He's just like, you're like, fucking Tupac in the ass.
Taking selfies.
Yeah.
Then everybody can take one, and then it's not worth anything anymore.
No, no, no.
It's just an Instagram thing now.
Exactly. Now it's a fucking... TikTok challenge, fuck Tupac in the ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, if I had $100, I could be that. I would be that doing that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I would pay $100 to fuck
hologram Tupac
hologram in the ass.
So they're at the auditorium, and Kevin says, "You know what? I should go see my guy, my music guy.
Yeah, I got a music guy.
He probably knows what this shit is."
Yeah.
Courtney Cox says, "Yeah, just go. I'm gonna hang out here." At the high school, by myself, thinking about my dead parents.
Yeah. And then he's like, all right, deuces.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, that's a giant red flag, but...
Yeah. So this movie could have gone in a very, very different, very darker direction.
Yep.
But yeah, so she's there. But in the meantime, Kevin has activated the key. And we see in Eternia, they can track, because they have a key.
Yeah. They have their own key.
They have their own key that they use to break into Castle Grayskull. They have the
everybody's got fucking keys.
There's two keys. Yeah. It's a double key situation. Did we not explain the double key situation?
Yeah, it's a double key situation.
So they have a key. Gwildor had a backup key. Yeah. That's the key that's on Earth. Skeletor still has his key. That's how he can go to Eternia, because otherwise there's no fucking movie.
Right.
Right. So anyways.
In Eternia, they find out where the key is.
Right, because the keys are connected. So as soon as they start doing the tones on their key in Earth, Skeletor and his people are like, we got a signal.
That's where He-Man is.
That's where He-Man is. So Skeletor tells Evil-Lyn to get her best people together. And this is the moment that you alluded to where you're like, oh, here we go. We're going to get like trap jaw, many faces.
Let's get all the fucking badasses, man.
Fucking, we're going to get some crazy, the guy with the whip tail.
That
the fucking,
snake dude.
The snake guy. The other snake guy. There was like five snake dudes.
Yeah. All
there's a lot of, they're from Snake Mountain.
Yeah, exactly. They're all from Snake Mountain.
The skunk guy.
Yeah, the skunk guy.
The fucking merman.
Then again, they're all the same toy design, so they're all the same dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the same body. He-Man. The funny thing about He-Man, despite being the most powerful man in the universe, no more muscular than every single other
every
character.
Every single other person.
Because they all have the exact same body. Yep. Yeah. Including the man that is literally just a skeleton.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exact same body.
Exact same body. He-Man's dad, exact same body. He's 50 years old, whatever. He's still fucking built like a tank of a man.
Yeah, obviously. They're not going to make a new body for that.
No.
Yeah. Except for
they had the woman body and the man body, and then Orko.
And Orko, I was gonna say, except for Orko.
Except for Orko. Orko, and yeah. I guess the like the cats. I mean, and horses and shit. But,
yeah. But this is where I thought that they were gonna bring out all the cool. Like that's the moment you have,
right,
to bring in the cool guys. And who do they fucking bring in?
Well, so they bring in Blades.
They do bring in Blades.
This is a guy with two swords and one eye.
Yeah, same as Blades. Because of the two
his
swords.
Name is Blades with a Z.
Yeah.
Because he has two.
They should have called them two swords, but whatever.
That would have been a much more Funimation
yep.
naming policy. Yeah. We call them all two swords there.
Yep.
Why? He's got two swords.
Yeah.
Then they bring in, so they also bring in Karg. He's the, weird dude with a hook hand.
His hair is like an aging cocktail waitress from like 1970s yes. Vegas.
I was gonna say yeah. His hair is like a music video babe in 50 years.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah,
it's pretty, a hilarious it's design.
Pretty great. And then you also have Sarad, something like that.
Yeah.
He's a lizard man.
He's a lizard guy.
He's all right. Lizard pretty guy cool, okay. actually. They have a little thing where his neck can inflate.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And he looks more like a toy than any of the other
ones. He looks way more like a toy.
Because he's got like the helmet thing yes. on and stuff like that. He looks like a toy a lot.
He's actually a pretty good design.
Yeah.
I actually really like this character.
Yeah.
Even though he does nothing.
Jack shit. He's like the Boba Fett of this fucking
yes.
movie.
He is. He's 100% yeah. the Boba Fett. I yep. mean, again, they wanted to rip off Star Wars all the way. So
all the way. So they're like.
You also have to have a character that has a great design that is
does
fucking
dick.
Meaningless.
Yeah, exactly.
Gets killed very easily. He gets killed very easily later.
Yeah.
And then you have the one character from the show,
Beastman.
Yeah. Yeah. Which they actually do a pretty good job with.
It's all right. It's
they
okay.
even give him the little like spiky gauntlet things.
Yeah. 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 That's yeah. true. They do that.
Not bad.
Yeah, those are the ones that they pick, though. That's it. Beastman is the only one from them. Have such crazy designs already. And I feel like...
new toys, though.
That's true.
See, I mean, that's the thing about all of these projects, is that even at their... even exactly, they're all about the toys. Even at their utmost emotional moments, even when you had kids in the theater crying because Optimus Prime was dead... that was because they wanted to make some new fucking toys.
Yep.
You got to throw that Optimus shit away and buy the new shit,
that's
son.
That's the whole fucking point
buy,
of the
people
Transformers
are
going
to be,
movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. They kill off all the old Transformers, give you all new Transformers. That's the only reason that movie exists.
Yeah. And if it wasn't such a cool movie, it would, yes. it's just a big fuck you.
If it didn't have the
to...
greatest soundtrack in the history of film,
yep.
then it would be just a big fuck you. Can you imagine if they did that? I mean, I guess they kind of do that with Star Wars. They're like, Han Solo dead, Luke dead,
yeah,
Princess Leia dead. But, I mean, if they went really hard with it in like the first 10 minutes of Force Awakens, they're like, everyone fucking dead.
Yeah, which they yeah. should have done. That would have been fucking dope.
I mean, if they had that soundtrack, I would have been into
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You got Orson Welles.
Yeah, doing the voice and shit.
Voicing
yeah.
some shit. Yeah. yeah.
Although, yeah. Leonard I guess. Nimoy and fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
All these dead people.
Nowadays, you would go with like Donald Sutherland to do the voice.
Yeah, Donald Sutherland
else
would
the cool
be a good
voice.
One.
Sam Elliott.
Yeah, Sam Elliott would be good.
Best
well,
best
you'd
want to
get somebody that was like. Like a big deal Academy Award winner. So get like Jack Nicholson or
yeah.
fucking Al Pacino.
John Goodman does commercials sometimes.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, but if you got Al Pacino to come in and do like the voice of the new Star Wars villain.
Just fucking turn all the way
like,
up to 11.
Daisy Ridley's got a great ass!
And your head's all the way
all
up.
All the way up it!
The line on the script said, "She's got a great ass," and your head's all the way up it. And Al Pacino's like, "I got this.
I got this. I'm locked.
She's got a great ass.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh God, best line reading in the history
fucking
of line
Pacino,
readings,
man.
That and I shot a kid. The two best line readings ever.
That's great. But, yeah, that's the whole point is new toys. Although,
yes.
you could also do the movie versions of the toys, which
True.
They do a lot.
True. Which is
also.
What they did with Beastman, I assume, and Skeletor, probably.
But
and definitely with He-Man.
If you're going to go that way, man, make some better character fucking
yes.
Designs.
Well, they ran out of money after Lizard Guy.
Exactly.
They got Lizard Guy, and
they put
like,
all the chips in the Lizard Guy.
We've only got like another 30 minutes before we have to shoot. What are we doing with this other guy? I don't know. Put that perm wig on him and
yeah.
a hook hand.
Old
Done.
Lady make. Yep. It really is exactly yeah. that.
This is. What about this guy? Two swords, eye patch. Good. Go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Isn't he look too human to be from that? No. That's
He's
fine.
Bald.
Again, bald and eye patch, dude. Not human, obviously.
Yeah, not human.
Really. Yeah. Well, human has two swords, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Humans only have one sword. Come on.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
that's the whole point. But then anyway, they send these bounty hunter
right.
guys.
So they show up at the high school and start wrecking the
wrecking
fucking high
shit.
School.
Yeah.
And they go after Courtney Cox. But luckily, who shows up?
One He-Man?
That's the guy.
Yep. Finally. He's been gone for like 35
He's
minutes.
He's been gone for a while.
Yeah. I forgot he was in this fucking movie. Well, no, they show up and then they're like, yeah, let's help these kids out. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, they,
Kevin well, I mean, He-Man's a hero. Yeah. So the second he sees someone in trouble, he's like, yeah, I got this.
He's like, I bet you I could bring her dead parents back.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, Courtney Cox in this movie, very cute. So very He-Man's cute. Probably being like, hey.
Yeah, you think he's trying to hit it?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Could be.
Sure. I mean, I would.
Well, he seems very like... I don't know. Like, he's very not very focused on anything. I don't think He-Man in this movie really wants anything.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, everybody else wants stuff around him, and he's just like, all right, yeah, let's do that.
That's yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Like, we got to go save this.
I mean, I guess he wants to fight Skeletor, maybe, but even that, he's like, I guess I'll fight him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. I guess
I'm here. Yeah. I mean, and this is hilarious to me. So, Dolph Lundgren, this is his second movie, basically.
Pretty much after
his
Rocky
first
Ford.
His first lead movie, right?
Yeah, because it was before Punisher.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he does Rocky IV. Rocky IV. He gets this job because he's dating what's her name, Grace Kelly or Grace Jones.
Grace Jones. Yeah.
He's dating Grace Jones, so people are like, so he's around parties in Hollywood or whatever.
Yeah.
And at some point, I guess you know he meets Sly or somebody that knows Sly, and they're like, dude, this guy's like fucking 6'5", fucking blonde, fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger knockoff dude.
Yeah.
And Sly's like, perfect.
Also, my next one. He's part of the craziest fucking couple you've ever set your eyes on.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
he's one half of the
most insane couple of all time. Yeah,
exactly.
If you've never seen, is it Grace Slick or Grace Jones? It's Grace Jones.
It's
right?
Grace Jones because Grace Slick was Jefferson.
Yeah. So Grace Jones, who if you've never seen her, is like a 6'2", very skinny, muscular African-American woman. She's also in Conan the Destroyer. She's dope as hell in it.
Yeah, she's very dark.
Yeah, like very dark, like African. Yeah.
But yeah, she's weird looking as it is.
Yes.
Not to, you know, like shame or whatever, but you know, like
I mean, she's like a 6'3" muscle lady.
She would shock you if she stepped into the room.
You're like, whoa, hey, that's a
super giant muscle lady.
And she was a model.
Yeah, and she was a model.
Because she's such a like a striking, like when she walks in, you're like, holy shit, who is like, you're going to notice her.
She picked up Roger Moore and fucking threw him 400 feet.
Yeah, right? She's in a James Bond movie. Yeah.
So anyway, and then she's dating this fucking
weird 6'5" Swedish fucking.
Was he like a scientist or something?
Yeah, well, he's like a multi fucking PhDs in engineering and shit. This fucking genius male model, 6'5" fucking Adonis Swede.
Yeah. Yeah, the most shocking fucking looking couple that could go to those parties.
Yeah.
There. So obviously they're like, I don't know what this is. But like, I want in on this.
But it's it. Are we orging? Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't even matter. Something's
going on.
Here.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But this is the party I want
to
be at. Yeah.
So Sly brings him in for Rocky IV because he's a perfect guy to just be a non-speaking, intimidating. He's like a foot taller than Stallone.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect.
Exactly.
And then because of this, you know, everyone takes notice because when you're the villain in a Rocky movie.
Yeah. And it was a huge hit. We talked about it.
Yeah. It's a huge fucking movie. So that Cannon sweeps him up, and they're thinking Conan the Barbarian. They're like, just like Arnold.
Yep.
He's big, he's muscles, he's blonde, he's foreign. He doesn't really speak English, but
that's fine.
It's fine. We'll work around it.
Yeah.
He's not a good actor, really. I mean, he becomes a better actor as time goes on.
Yep.
But at this point, I mean, he can barely speak English, so you can't really blame him.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah.
He
wasn't an actor before.
No, he wasn't an actor.
He was an engineer.
Yeah. So, I don't know where I was going with this, but the point is...
His acting is not... Well, we were talking about he hasn't been in the movie for like 35 minutes.
He hasn't been in the movie because they needed to...
But he's not focused, like, stuff...
Right. So, that was my whole thing, is that I think because he doesn't really speak English, and he also famously, even though this is his second movie, and he's just becoming famous, this is his first lead... He's like, I don't want to be in a fucking toy movie. This is dumb.
This is
fucking stupid.
And it shows.
Yeah. And so he's just like, I don't know, man. And famously, the producers were like, we're going to do part two. We're going to do part three. And he was like, nah.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
So they actually announced, they're like, hey, we're doing part two with Dolph. And Dolph was like, nope.
No, I'm not. No. Like the next day in an interview. No.
And I guess they eventually recast him with this like surfer guy.
Yeah.
This professional surfer. It obviously never happened because Cannon goes down and
yeah.
it never comes to fruition. But we will talk about the potential sequels because they are bonkers as hell.
Yeah.
But anyways, my point, I guess, also being that how crazy it is in pop culture that a guy who his first lead role is this giant hit IP that everybody in America knows. And he's like, this is fucking stupid. And now you have like Academy Award winning actors being like, can I be in the next Marvel movie?
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Well, it's because they started making him good.
Well, and also, yeah. I mean, they make a lot of money now.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah, so then He-Man is just like a cat chasing a laser around.
Yeah, I mean, he fights the dudes.
Yeah, he fights the dudes.
He beats them all up, and then Tila and Man-at-Arms show up. They chase him off. They show back up to Skeletor, and they're like, we were outnumbered. They jumped us.
Yeah, Skeletor shows up with in that ship, which is pretty cool.
Not yet. Not yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
But Skeletor just, this is when he kills the lizard guy.
Yeah.
He's not in a forgiving mood.
Well,
he quotes Shakespeare.
Was the lizard also a robot?
Sure. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, evidently. Did we talk about the robot thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Music store?
No. Didn't know they were robots.
Yeah.
So Skeletor, also, I do have to rewind real quick. Because Skeletor, who is basically playing Darkseid in this movie, soon to be seen in whatever fuckfest Justice League bullshit's happening. But anyways, one of my favorite Skeletor moments, I'm going to quote them all during this podcast. Because I love it so much. When they very first show up at the beginning of the movie, and I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about it, but Evelyn says the line, Castle Grayskull is ours. Skeletor shouts, no! And then he sits down. Mine.
Yep.
Because, and he later, actually, I think in this scene, he talks about how they need to get the other key because he must possess everything or he possesses nothing.
Damn. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's some Tony Montana style of villainy.
Skeletor, better villain than any Marvel villain?
Yeah, that's the stupidest thing you've ever said. I don't remember. I remember the craze like Loki got after the fucking first Thor.
Yeah, I know. People were all about that Loki.
Yeah. I mean, if any hot chicks are dressing up like a female version of Skeletor, is the cartoon one.
I mean, I've seen that.
The universe.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is the cartoon one. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, that's ridiculous, and you're a ridiculous person for saying such things. So, they have fights in, like, a fucking high school auditorium.
Right.
And then a music store.
Right. So, in the meantime, Kevin gets jumped by Evelyn, who is... Skeletor sends Evelyn back. This is actually another great scene, because Evelyn says something. I don't even remember what she says. And Skeletor's like, yes, and you go, and you do it, and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I was not suggesting I go. Well, then you shouldn't have spoken.
Fucking Skeletor.
Skeletor. It's hardcore. Yeah. So he sends Evelyn. She shows up. They get Kevin. Kevin tells them, we forgot about Lubeck.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So James Tolkar.
Yeah, James Tolkar from Back to the Future.
Back to the Future and Top Gun a little bit, but Back to the Future.
Slackers.
Yeah. He shows up playing the exact same character, but now he's a cop.
Yep.
And we also find out...
He's the principal of the streets.
Yeah, he's the principal of the streets, exactly. Yeah. He's out there busting slackers.
Yep.
But now he has a little gun.
Yep.
And a trench coat.
Like cops do.
Like cops do.
Yeah.
Like all cops do. He has a gun and a trench coat.
That's all you need.
The only cop movie this person had ever seen was from the 70s, I guess. It was some like low-budget 70s cop movie, probably.
Yep. Yeah, because cops and Ninja Turtles pretend to be humans.
That's right.
Same thing.
Same design, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also, that's not the best design for a Ninja Turtle, because I feel like people would always be running up to asking for help, because they think you're a detective.
They think you're a cop, yeah.
Yeah. Come on, Ninja Turtles. I know you need to cover it up.
Really, what you should do is wear a shitty Ninja Turtles costume on top of it.
Yeah,
and then people just think you're going to ask them for $5 for a picture.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's the Breaking Bad, right? When he dressed up like himself with a shitty mask of himself.
Yeah, at Comic-Con?
Yeah. No, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. So,
But he's in that. He's in this movie.
Right. And we also find out that when he's not standing next to Michael J. Fox or Tom Cruise, very short guy.
He's a very not intimidating, tiny guy. Every character towers over him.
Every character. And especially the fucking 17-year-old kid he's supposed to be like
shaking,
dominating. Yeah. Who's a foot taller than him.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I had no idea he was that short.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Maybe that, I mean, they cast him on purpose so that Michael J. Fox wouldn't look like he's 5 foot.
Probably, five. Yeah.
Well, he's not Tom Cruise, but. Or yeah. Maybe that's probably why he's in Top Gun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly why he's in Top Gun. Yeah.
Exactly. They fight it out in a fucking music store.
Right. So eventually they all coalesce. It doesn't matter. We'll skip
then
a few
in
things.
A fucking
they end
alley.
Up fighting up in a big ass music store.
They really
blowing
just
kind of
fight in all the sets that they already had, that Cannon already had used for other movies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Pretty much, yeah.
They were originally, actually, speaking of that, so Cannon's pitch moving forward, what their plan was if they had not gone under, is they were going to film Masters of the Universe 2 and Spider-Man, which for a brief time they had the rights to.
Just ridiculous.
At the same time, at the same sets.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, they do that now because of green screen, but you know.
Well, yeah.
It's just a green screen set. But yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
These guys are fucking insane.
They were fucking insane. Superman 4, man.
Yeah, Superman 4. God,
yeah.
Just got rights. Just buy rights.
Just got rights.
Just take all your savings that you got during COVID.
Wasn't it a bunch of junk stocks and shit that they were like scamming people with or something?
Yeah, they do the thing where they would design a poster and then sell that movie and then use that money to pay for the last movie.
Yeah.
So they were always selling fake movies to pay for the last movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a lot of scamming.
It was a lot of scamming.
They also made competing Lombada movies. If you ever want to know how crazy these people are, they released competing Lombada movies in the same year when they were mad at each other one time. It's ridiculous.
They also made the best movie about arm wrestling.
Yeah.
Or child custody cases for that matter.
Yeah. Get out of here, Kramer. We're just Kramer. But so then they end up. So then that's when the Skeletor shows up.
Finally. Right. So then Skeletor finally shows up with his big flying armada thing,
which is pretty cool.
And very cool. And he also has his like dudes on fucking like hoverboard.
Yeah, they have like hoverboard stuff. That not so cool. Like the effects are terrible during that. It's just it's a two-dimensional He-Man.
It's a little rough in times. At times it looks good. At times it looks a little rough.
Two-dimensional animated He-Man
where
floating around.
They clearly just like took the still frame and were like moving it across the
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And then they capture everybody. Everybody's captured now, so they're like, we can lure He-Man here,
right?
Because He-Man that's all
does.
Skeletor
there are some cool bits though where He-Man is like killing dudes on this hoverboard. He jumps through a window.
He's got like a lightsaber now and shit. Like, yeah, basically, I don't know, man. Yeah. Like, they like a lightsaber battle and lasers now.
Just
like in the cartoon, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember all those lasers.
Hey, there was a lot of lasers in the cartoons. Yeah. He had a robot friend one episode. I remember that.
Yeah, that's true. Glass jar, whatever, was a robot, right?
Sure.
Yeah. You could see his insides.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The one with the insides. Yeah. I don't remember what it was called, but yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what it's called. Yeah. So then it's some bad effects, some good effects mixed with some terrible effects, which is weird and muddled and it kept reminding me like, oh, yeah, this is a shitty movie. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. This is.
Yeah, exactly. That is a good point for this movie.
Yeah.
Where you can really tell, like, it is one of those they had to pick their battles. Where it's like, all right, we did that effect really good. All right, you've got 30 minutes to do the next one.
God damn it. All right. Let's just do that, I guess. This is what you want it to look like. And then they're like, yeah, that's fine.
That's fine.
Don't worry.
We got to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They finally lure He-Man over. Yeah,
they capture everybody else.
Yeah, they capture everybody else.
And so they're like, He-Man, you know, He-Man starts fighting a bunch of dudes, kicks a bunch of ass. It's actually a pretty good little fight scene.
Yeah, and then Gwildor's like, Gwildor, right? Isn't
it? Well, at that point, that's when Skeletor's like, not another move, or they all die.
Yeah. Well, it's like, wait till He-Man gets you and kicks your ass.
Yeah,
and it's
like,
I'm counting on that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then He-Man shows up, and then, I don't know, they just stop him? Like, I don't...
Well, he gives himself up.
I know, but how does he... They, like, lure him up, and then he, like, uses a magnet thing to, like, stop his hoverboard?
Yeah.
What does he do? And then all of a sudden, and then he shoots, like... lasers out of his hand?
Oh, yeah. You see, he has, like, magic force lightning.
He has, like, magic force lightning. Yeah. Exactly.
He's the Emperor.
And he just shoots Courtney Cox in the leg.
That's right. With, like, poison force lightning.
Because she's, like, it's a trap. And I'm like, he can see everything from up there, guys. Like, I think he knows what he's going into.
How He-Man did not see this giant army and giant
and
floating Skeletor thing.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, no.
No, yeah. And then he somehow stops
his fucking
hoverboard.
Why did he chase the guy in the first place?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
It's ridiculous.
There's some logic leaps. Yeah. Still a great movie.
No, not at all. And then, so he zaps Courtney Cox in the fucking leg.
Right.
Poison leg. And then poison leg now.
Yeah. And then He-Man gives
himself
up.
To stop her from...
Well, she was going for the key.
Oh, yeah, she was going for the key, yeah.
And so he zaps her and then zaps the key.
That melts the key.
Melts the key.
And then He-Man gives himself up.
Right. So then Skeletor says that leave them alive because as long as they're alive, He-Man is bound by his word.
Yeah.
And will not try and escape. So they go back to Eternia with his one remaining key that works.
Yep.
And leaving Kevin and Gwildor, Man-at-Arms and Teela.
And the town that's just empty.
Yeah, in a town that has no extras.
But what's his Tokar went and got like the
That's right.
The
he goes to get the other cops.
Yeah. They don't believe him because he's insane. And yeah. He's a ridiculous tiny man.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Yeah. All right, James.
He's like tiny Elvis in those, always those with SNL skits where yeah. they're just like, ah, look how cute he is. This is one of my favorite lines in this movie. So the He-Man is gone now.
Yes.
And then they're like trying to figure out how to fix her leg. And they're like, only the sorcerers can fix her leg.
Yeah, yeah.
Or not. She's going to die. Like
she's going to die. Her blood. And they're actually stuff. Good makeup effects on
yeah,
that.
Yeah. The leg looks good. Shitty. Yeah. It looks really bad.
Yeah.
And then Gwildor is like, they're like, well, how do we get there? And he's like, interdimensional travel. That's nothing.
Yep.
But remembering five notes. that is fucking impossible.
It's true.
Yeah. He's like, we can't pinpoint how to get back because we don't remember the melody.
That's true. But luckily,
yeah,
the one musician remembers the five notes. He literally
says,
yeah.
Interdimensional travel, that's nothing. That's nothing. Yeah. Yeah, but luckily,
I mean, he's a nutty professor type. He's, you know, yeah, one, he's a mad genius.
He was worried about chicken and shit.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
The one guy that
he doesn't know anything about music.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like he made this key or programmed it or you know, did anything like that.
True, true.
But luckily, somebody has a memory in this fucking world.
Right. Good old Kev.
Good old Kevin. He's like, oh, yeah, doesn't it go like, da, 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 yeah. And then he's like, how did you do that? And I'm like, how did he remember the fucking tune?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. So he grabs his old Casio keyboard, plugs that shit in.
He does not plug it in.
That's true.
He brings just a fucking keyboard and lays it on the ground.
Yeah.
No power source. Maybe he had some D batteries in it.
Yeah, yeah. Those things ran on Ds.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then he's like, just press it on the keys. And he's like, what key? This is the only key.
Yeah,
some jokes.
Billy's got jokes in this one.
Yeah.
Also the best voice in the history of voices.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Billy Bardi. Fucking legend.
Yeah.
Not just in Legend, he was a legend.
And in Willow.
The fucking best in Willow.
It's fucking awesome.
God, he's good.
He's the best in this movie.
Yes. He is the best. He has such
and it was great to give him as much screen time as they did because he is great.
He's so good. Yeah. So Kevin plays the notes and something that I do love kind of about this movie is that the key just works in different ways every time they do it.
Whenever they need it.
So now, not only does it just open a little portal that they can jump through like it has before, but now it just teleports that whole area, including half a car,
yeah.
part of a wall, and James Tokar that just ran in with a gun.
Yep. Now he's there.
They're all taken to right in the middle of Castle Grayskull.
Yep, right in the middle where they need to be.
Meanwhile, He-Man's getting whipped with a fucking like lightsaber whip.
Yeah.
Fucking dope.
Yeah, he's getting whipped. That was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. He's chained to the ground.
He won't bend the knee.
He will not bend the knee.
No, he won't bend the knee.
Yeah.
Fucking Jon Snow up in here.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
But then now they're in there. So, you know, it's time to get He-Man out.
Yeah. So, well, he sees Skeletor tells all of his robot dudes, kill them. And He-Man's like, you promised they wouldn't be harmed. Like,
I lied. Yeah.
So then he hulks out.
Yeah, he hulks out, rips the chains out.
He had the power the whole time. Hercules, yeah.
Hercules, exactly.
It actually, the set kind of has that look to it, too. And he does a lot of Hercules type shit.
He does. So he knocks, it's the old Samson, right? With the knock
Samson,
on the
yeah,
set,
yeah,
the
yeah
statue
that's
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then actually, this is a cool little design. I saw some trivia where... So the way Castle Grayskull is designed, because it's supposed to be the seat of like the universe power, right?
Yeah.
So on all the top is all these like kind of angelic god statues. And then if you look in all the pits where they're like underneath where they're walking is all these like demon-y looking
things.
That's
cool. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the duality of power, good and evil.
It's a cool design.
It's a cool design.
Yeah.
So yeah, he knocks over a statue. There's a big fight. He rewrites a bunch of people. Then like the big fucking moment that gets me every single time. where, because at this point, the eye has opened. The great eye of the universe has opened.
Yeah.
Skeletor has become more than just a man.
Oh, my God. So, just like in the cartoon.
Yes.
He's wearing
a giant gold shiny helmet.
A giant gold helmet.
He has become a god.
Cape. Yep.
Yeah. And so he's using his gold force lightning electric god powers to hit He-Man. But He-Man will not be denied.
Nope.
He reaches for that sword.
Yeah.
He's being electrocuted the whole time.
Yeah.
He still pulls out that sword.
The fucking... And he says a line.
Power.
He totally says a line.
Yeah.
And then they just wrestle and he falls out.
Not quite. They have a little bit of a sword fight. So here's the thing. Right after that moment or around that moment, that's when Cannon showed up and we're like, we're out of money. Pull the plug.
Yeah, done. That's it. Guys.
We're done shooting. We have no more money.
We're not like every other studio. Like, we are actually out of money.
Literally out of money.
Yeah. Like, we're not feeding anybody today.
Yeah. And the director had to beg them for a little extra time because he's like, we literally have no ending to this movie.
Yep.
So they had to go back and reshoot, or not reshoot, but they had to do pickups to finish the actual fucking movie.
Jesus Christ.
With the big fight between them. The other thing that happened is they had, I guess, choreographed some... So, obviously, Frank Langella does not play Skeletor in the fight scene.
No. He's an old
he's
man.
A 50-year-old man that is a fucking stage actor.
Yeah, like, exactly.
He doesn't, like, do sword fights. He's not fucking Darth Maul. He's not Ray Parks.
Yeah.
So, the guy that actually played Blade... is the guy that stunt doubles for him. But they had choreographed all this stuff where he was supposed to like spin the staff around and do all this crazy stuff. He's wearing a giant horned helmet. So when they try and do that, he would just hit himself in the head.
Yeah, that makes sense. The ridiculous fucking giant horned helmet.
They couldn't do that. So they had to completely re-choreograph it. Also, Dolph Lundgren does like most of his own stunts and doesn't really know how to sword fight.
Yep. Because again, he's a scientist.
He's a fucking engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the money that they had to train him to box. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All he knew how to do was box. He should have just boxed him up.
He should have just boxed him. Just fucking tap, 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 Skeletor down. Down goes Skeletor.
He's still holding the sword, but he's throwing like boxing
just throwing punches. Yeah. He's just in one hand the sword, the other hand just jab, 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 jab. Yep. Uppercut. They have a fight. He cracks the staff, which somehow releases all of the power.
Yeah.
Skeletor is down. It's over. Yes. For you.
Yep.
Skeletor grabs the secret sword.
Yep.
And
that old chestnut.
Yeah, the classic villain chestnut.
Yeah.
Grabs the secret sword, goes to stab. He-Man just kind of ducks.
Yep. That's all he really. And then he just like flips him over.
Yeah, and he flies into a vat of acid.
Also,
I mean, it's the Emperor end where he just falls down a pit.
Yeah, he just falls down a pit, screaming to a shot of him obviously not screaming.
Yes.
Like the mouth is not moving at all.
No.
But you can hear him screaming.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Also, they should have never done close-ups of Skeletor. That makeup is terrible.
Frank Langella's doing that eye work.
He's doing eye work. Yeah, no, you should have just pulled back, man, the whole time.
Yeah, it's not a great costume.
So then, yeah, but what about our actual heroes?
All right, so
Courtney Cox and Kevin.
James Tokar has shot a bunch of dudes with a shotgun. He's now fully invested.
After being
a doubter for like an hour and a half, he's like, fuck this shit.
Yeah, he showed up with a shotgun. Yeah. He shotgunned a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, and then he's like, nah, I'm staying here banging chicks.
Yeah, exactly. Now he's in a fucking robe with like a chick that we've never seen.
No.
It's not like he's with Tila.
No, exactly. Yeah, no.
He's just with some random blonde chick, and he's just like, nah, this is great.
Yeah, this is where I want to live.
Yeah,
are you sure? This is a world of violence.
I was like,
that's where I was born from.
Yeah, I was like, James Tokar, I'm with you, man. I want to live in Eternia. That's fucking dope. They have, I don't even see it in this movie. They got fucking battle cats you can ride.
Yeah, that's true. It's like they pitch a pretty good world.
Yeah, yeah. They got laser guns and shit, and robot people.
Yeah.
So he's staying there, but they're going to send Courtney and Kevin back. Gwildor's like, you sure you don't want me to send you like to the future or the past? I can send you to a different world.
The key just does whatever the fuck you want it to do when you need it.
Because now it does. Now it does time travel.
Why didn't they travel back in time before
Skeletor? Yeah.
Why didn't they do that?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's like, they're like, no, just send us back to our Earth. Like, we're good, we're fine. And then as they're walking through the portal, Courtney Cox is like, wait, no, don't. She wakes up. All right, so. The Cosmic Key.
Yeah.
Every time we've seen it so far, it has teleported. It has opened up a door to another dimension, right?
Yep.
And you walk through that door, and then you end up you're like, oh, I'm here now.
Yeah.
Now she just woke up, and it has somehow put her consciousness in her past body.
Yeah.
Like 3 months again, ago.
Yeah. It's not like she traveled back in time, because then there would be two of her.
Right.
So, no. She's just back in her old body.
So, again, it just does the whatever you want.
Yeah, the key just does whatever it
is. But at this point, you're so into fucking He-Man, you're like, yes.
No, at this point, I'm not so into He-Man.
Oh, my gosh. Her parents are still alive. Yes, Courtney Cox, save your parents. Yes. Go. Oh, that's beautiful.
That's how great He-Man is. He saved her parents.
He saved her parents. So, she takes the keys, runs away. She's like, I had a bad feeling about this. Don't take this trip. And goes meets with Kevin. And Kevin's like, no, we were there. It's all real. It wasn't just a dream.
Yeah,
because now they think it's a dream because...
Also, he knows that her parents are alive somehow.
Right.
Which he does say, like, you know? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, because he probably looked at the newspaper and was like, wait a minute.
Well, it's before the plane even crashed. So yes. Why would the newspaper have anything about it?
Well, no, because he just knows the date.
Oh, the date.
Or he turned on the TV and he's like, wait a minute. I've seen this football game before.
Yep. Yeah, that tracks. That tracks.
Yeah, something like that.
That's how you find out you time travel.
Yeah. He turns on the radio and it's the put your little hands in mine.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a minute, Groundhog Day in me.
Also, he did have that weird little thing in his hand.
Yes, he has a little thing that is a picture of Castle Grayskull with Dolph Lundgren
going, I have the power.
I have the power. That's how the movie ends.
Oh, it's so stupid and ridiculous.
Oh, but also the Good Journey thing. We need to talk about that because I've been referencing it for 150 episodes.
Yep.
So on Eternia, they do this throughout the movie, but they explain it at the end that, like, hey, we don't say goodbye because, you know, we'll see each other again. We say good journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we do.
So it's never goodbye.
No.
It's only good journey.
It's always good journey.
Yeah.
So that's the end of the movie.
That is the end of this amazing movie.
Oh my god. It is so bad. I mean, I don't know. It's not even weird like the Mario Brothers movie was, which is really bad, but it's so fucking weird.
It's a very bizarre
movie.
You're
just like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. What's Dennis Hopper doing?
This movie tracks most, like, you can kind of, you're like, all right, I get it. It's a He-Man movie, but also it's a little bit of that classic 80s thing where it's like, well, we got to send them to Earth, though, because we don't have a budget.
And it's got to be teenagers.
Yeah.
It's... There's a good movie somewhere in there, but it's not this movie. But let's come up with it now.
Tell me about the loneliness of good, Francisco. Is it equal to the loneliness of evil?
No. First of all, can we keep Frank Langella?
Obviously, we treat Frank. Yes.
Yeah.
100%. And we, I guess, redesign the makeup? Or we just have him voice a skeleton man?
Yeah. Or we just take his face off.
Oh.
Nah, with modern science,
modern
probably
science,
keep him alive long
his face
enough.
Off. Yeah, just have him be a skeleton man.
Yeah, keep him alive long enough to at least his nose. At least take his nose off.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, because that's almost
just chop that shit off.
That's a skeletony part. That's how you know.
Yeah.
No, I have no idea how to fix this fucking movie because it's ridiculous.
I mean, it's ridiculous. you can't fix this movie. It's perfect. I stand by that. No, I mean, obviously, it's perfect. It's great. I love it.
It would have been cool if they would have, at the end, if they use the key, and instead of sending him back home, it accidentally sends him to fucking Pandora.
Pandora with the Avatar world?
No,
or are
no,
you
no,
talking
the,
about, like, Cybertron?
Thundercats.
Thundera.
Is that what it's called? Or is it?
Yeah.
No, it's the Eye of Thundera.
Maybe. I don't know. Didn't they also land on Earth, but in like millions of years ago?
The Thundercats?
Yeah.
Are they on Earth the whole time?
I thought so, right? Well, because they start on an alien planet.
Is it Planet of the Apes situation?
I think so. They start on an alien planet, then they have to leave for some reason.
Again, I don't remember any stories. All I remember is the fights.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It was just toy lines. And they were like, why aren't they fighting a mummy? I don't know. You figure it out. They're fighting a goddamn mummy.
Yeah. Or it would have been cool if they would have landed in one of those toy lines,
lines that made like knockoff He-Man.
Oh, knockoff. I was gonna say like GoBots, but yeah, knockoff He-Man stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you would go to the swap meet and it would be like Muscle Man or something like that, and it looks
Barbarian
like
Barbarian Warrior.
Yeah, and you could play. They were the same size, so you could play with them, but they sucked.
Yes, they always for some reason
they
sucked.
Looked shitty. They looked like wrestlers or something. They were never like that creative.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, just a bug. Oh, that would be really just good. Bug guys now. yeah, that would have been cool.
And then the sequel was just Courtney Cox and Kevin, but it's now a completely different IP.
Yeah, yeah. It's just them now dealing with the fucking Thundercats.
They're now the fucking main characters of all of these movies.
That would have been fucking cool. Do that.
Would have been pretty cool. Yeah. That would have been a very 80s, like, teen-focused thing to do, for sure.
Yeah.
But let me pitch you on this, because this is a nonsense thing that was created in fandom. So, there was, as I said, plans for a sequel to Masters of the Universe. But at the same time, they were also developing the script for Cyborg, the Jean-Claude Van Damme post-apocalyptic shit movie. It's got Jean-Claude. It's all right. So, somehow in fandom, these two things were mixed. And the rumor was that Master of the Universe 2, so Skeletor, if you watch past the credits, he pops out of the ass and he's like, I'll be back.
Yeah.
The rumor was that Skeletor was going to somehow end up on Earth, have conquered Earth, turned it into a post-apocalyptic wasteland, and that He-Man was going to show up on this post-apocalyptic wasteland and fight, like, cyborg people and Trapjaw and all these, like, other weird creatures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that he could, like, beat Skeletor in, like, a Mad Max movie.
Yeah, that's a much better movie.
That would have been dope as hell.
Yeah, that's the movie that should have been
That would have been incredible.
Yeah, that's exactly how you... And you could even have the ripoff Planet of the Apes thing when you don't know it's Earth till the very end.
Yeah, until the end, yeah.
We'd all been okay with that.
There was also, I guess, another rumor that was going to be something where, like, it ended up that Eternia was just Earth in the year 2020 or something.
Yeah, like, because the key makes a time travel or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which also would have been cool.
Also would have been cool, yeah.
And that would have been an easy thing to put in at the end, too.
Yes,
yeah,
for sure.
Totally could have done that. All the other variations of this movie are probably better than this one.
Throw in some cyborgs, some Terminators, some time travel.
Some $30 million more.
Yeah, a lot more money, better sword fights.
Yep.
And some tits.
And some tits. And then,
you got a real movie
exactly. Now you're cooking with butter.
Yeah. So this is the best movie ever made, obviously.
Well,
We're finally here. It's not the best, but we can't really think at this point. I mean, we got there. We got to the movie that we always wanted to talk about.
We did always want to talk about
ridiculous
it. We
came
up with a lot of crazy
that we argue about all the time.
It's so fucking bad.
Because even though it's a bad movie, I grew up a huge fan of Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
And, you know, nostalgia, it's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, yeah, we've talked about that on the really shitty movies.
Yeah.
And like, what do kids who saw it when they were five, what do they think?
Right, and we do wonder about that a lot. We talk about this a lot. I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, but like, obviously you see with the Star Wars prequels, people of our generation hate them. Younger people love them because they were five.
Yeah, because they were five and everything is awesome when you're five.
And we do wonder, like, all right, so these movies that are coming out now that we hate... are in like 5 years, 10 years, are people going to be like, you know what was really an underrated masterpiece?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, that movie was awesome. Yeah. I wonder, like, the really shitty stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How that's...
You know, Transformers Dark Side of the Moon was actually a hidden masterpiece.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh my God.
Yep.
So, nostalgia is a hell of a drug. That's part of the reason we chose the name Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Yep.
Because we're nostalgic for these 80s movies. But all good things... they must change. They must evolve.
Yeah,
they must
exactly.
move forward.
And we think it's time with these turbulent times.
We think it's time to finally move forward, finally jump into just a really more progressive era, more today era, something that the kids can really get on board. We're going to 1990.
Yep. We're buying a VCR.
We're going to Blockbuster. Yep. We're renting that fucking shit. Yeah. We're talking.
We're getting a big screen TV,
that
weighs 8,000 pounds.
8,000 pound, $8,000 big screen TV.
Yep. Getting a VCR.
Standard definition, you better believe it. That's all I understand.
Yep. We're quoting the church lady from SNL.
That's right. We're doing a lot of like pump. You up.
Yep.
Friends and friends jokes. Yeah.
And
we got
jumping
our
into the
MC
90s.
Hammer pants and our Vanilla Ice lyrics.
Yep.
So, you know, all the kids can really understand where we're coming from.
So, yeah, stay tuned. We're going to start. We're finally starting the 90s.
We are going to count down the biggest hit movies of the 1990s one by one. Come on back for that.
Until then.
I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good journey.
Don't. We love you.